The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello from Indianapolis. Good day, everybody. Welcome in to the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington on Election Day. Hope everybody gets out and votes today. It is time to vote on what you think will happen to the Kentucky-Duke game, I guess. Kentucky and Duke open the college basketball season tonight here in Indianapolis in the Champions Classic. And Kentucky announced yesterday they have renewed their participation in this event, I think, through 2022. So that's mostly what we'll talk about today. We'll talk a little football, I'm sure, with Larry Vaught, but a lot about this game. And then in the second half of the show, Mike DeCourcy will join us a little later in the year. Mike will start joining us regularly on Fridays, per usual, but on today to preview the start of the college basketball season at Kentucky Duke in particular. And the guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters. Let's get right to the Wildcat news of the day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That is a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Kentucky Duke started the season in a top five matchup one other time, and that was November of 1979, and it was Kentucky and Duke playing in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic in Springfield, Massachusetts. And the storyline then was the experience of Duke against the outstanding freshman class of Kentucky, led by Sam Bowie, Dirk Minifield, and that crew, one of Joe Hall's highest-regarded recruiting classes. Well, this time, Kentucky obviously has a tremendous recruiting class, ranked second to Duke's, but it's Duke's three freshmen in particular that are ranked among the top five players in the country, depending on who you consult. They're in, pretty much, I think it's maybe a consensus. They're all top, all three are in the top five. And it's on the Kentucky side a little more of a storyline of experience with Reed Travis and with the sophomores that John Calipari has this season. So a little bit of a twist from that last meeting. The other thing was interesting about that, I heard Dick Gabriel referencing this on his show last night as I was driving up here after the Mark Stoops show. And back in that November 79, Gabe did the game because Kaywood and Ralph were in Knoxville for the final game of the football season. So Dick went up to Springfield to do the basketball game with his broadcast partner, Jock Sutherland, who became an enemy of the Big Blue Nation for a time back in the 80s, but 80s, 90s, I guess. Anyway, that's just a interesting little sidebar to that story. Kentucky Duke tonight, I just ran into Mike Pratt at breakfast, and we were talking a little bit about it. We both agreed that we think Kentucky will do fine against Zion Williamson, but the more concerning matchup is R.J. Barrett. I think Keldon Johnson gets him first, but you're not going to play him for all 40 minutes, so it's going to be interesting to see how Kentucky defends him. I like Kentucky's chances with the experience that they have, as we'll discuss moving into the balance of the show. Yesterday was football media day, so to speak, for Coach Stoops, his news conference at noon, his coach's show at 6, and said they had a good practice yesterday when he came in for the coach's show. He puts a lot of thought into setting the tone for each week, the theme he's going to hit on leading into his pregame talk on Saturday. And he said he talked with his unity council and his veteran players about setting the right tone this week and about the importance of not dwelling on the loss to Georgia. And that, to me, is the main storyline for Kentucky. If they come out focused and ready to play, I think they're fine. And they have a chance with the way that the polling turned out yesterday. They only dropped one spot in the AP. If they win these next three games and then go win a bowl game, and it'll be a big bowl somewhere, they're going to end up top 10 in the country and 11-2 if they win out that way. So main goal right now is obviously Tennessee. That's the biggest chore of the final three on paper anyway, is the Volunteers. Brad Calipari announcing yesterday that, oh, by the way, Stoops said no real injury issues coming out of the Georgia game. It was a physical game, but nobody any more beat up than they were going in to any great extent. Benny Snell had an ankle issue during the game, but I think Stoops said it was more of a bruise than a sprain. Brad Calipari, UK announcing yesterday, is going to redshirt this season. He's going to be going into the grad school program at the University of Kentucky. I think it's after this season. And he is going to redshirt this year, so he'll be able to still be on the basketball team as a player for those couple of years that he is in grad school. One recruiting note, Jaden McDaniels from out on the West Coast has scheduled a visit to Kentucky for this weekend. This is according to 24/7 Sports. He had visited Washington recently and San Diego State. UCLA is high on his list, but he has not yet planned a visit to Los Angeles. This is a guy Kentucky has been around for a while, but really seemed to have stepped up the recruitment of in the last couple of months. So Jaden McDaniels coming into Lexington, and often that visit has a big impact. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found each day on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. When we come back, Larry Vaught will join the program. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, locations in Hamburg and in Palomar. We're coming to you from Indianapolis today, where Kentucky plays Duke tonight. We'll be right back.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Welcome back into The Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Larry Vaught on the line with us. You can read him at VossViews.com and at LEX18.com. And we want to spend some time on football and we'll look back at the Georgia game later. But we'll start with basketball. It's the start of the season tonight here in Indianapolis and Kentucky and Duke. It's a fun way to get this started without any preludes. And what do you expect we'll see tonight?
Oh, I think we'll see a pretty intense game. I think most of these players on both teams know each other. I think there's a little rivalry, especially among the freshmen on both teams. And I think with the national TV and the opening game, I think it'll be a pretty intense game. How well played it'll be, I think you never know when the season starts like this. But I think from just the intensity standpoint, it'll be good. The other thing is you never exactly know what new players are going to really shine. I think if I remember correct last year, Tom, in the game against Kansas to open this, or in the Champions Classic, I believe Kevin Knox had 20 points, and I'm not sure P.J. Washington had a field goal in that game. But
yeah, you're right. He struggled up here.
Yeah, you just never know what to expect. But I really like Kentucky's chances just because of a guy like Reed Travis. I think tonight's the kind of game where he can make a huge, huge difference for UK.
Yeah, I think I said up here, I think it was in Chicago last year. But, yeah, P.J. struggled because, as I recall, he had played well. And then it was clear that they came in, had designed a game plan to stop him. They were doubling him and really got in his head a little bit. I expect Kentucky to really play well tonight, much better than we've seen in the two exhibition games. I have kind of been talking about the comparison maybe to the games in the Bahamas where they kind of were so-so in their first game, gave up a lot of straight line drives against the Bahamas, just an average team down there. But the second game was the big game of the week. It was the one that they were going to get their biggest challenge in, supposedly, and they responded incredibly well, and I suspect they will tonight. I saw some quotes after the game Saturday, I think from DeAndre Swift, the Georgia running back, something to the effect of, they were tired of hearing about Benny Snell. I mean, so these guys are competitors, and so the Kentucky freshmen are probably a little tired of hearing about how great the Duke freshmen are.
I think that's exactly right, Tom, and I think certainly not saying that Kentucky just went through the motions in the two exhibition games, but I think maybe we saw their C game at best. I think tonight you see that A game. It's like that's a really, really good way to point it out, like what happened in the Bahamas. I think these guys have been waiting for this game for a while. It was kind of similar to the volleyball. I mean, when Kentucky was playing Florida when the match finally got there and the players on the team, that was a game they'd been waiting for. and their play went way up in that match. And I think that's exactly what you'll see tonight with Kentucky. I think Kentucky, we've seen them against Trancy and IUP, won't look like anything like the Kentucky we're going to see tonight against Duke.
Why do you think Reed Travis will be such a key factor tonight?
I just think he's well, one, he's got so much experience, but two, he's just such a strong-willed and strong-bodied person. I just think he will wear Duke's younger guys down as the game goes on inside. I think he just stays after you, stays after you, stays after you. I don't look for it to be anything spectacular, but he'll just get that double-double, put that body on people, and just wear them down as the game goes on. And I also think he's a guy you're expecting that won't make many mistakes offensively or defensively. Whatever he's supposed to be doing, he'll be there. The hype of the game, I don't think, will overwhelm him at all. And I just think having a guy like that on your team makes a big difference when you play a game like this.
Kentucky can send different types of players at Zion Williamson, so I like their chances in that matchup. Maybe a little better than I do the R.J. Barrett one. They're both outstanding players. It's just that Keldon Johnson looks like the only best fit maybe against R.J. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And it, when you're talking about what the Georgia players were saying about Benny Snell, I'm kind of wondering how R.J. Barrett is going to feel about going against Keldon Johnson, because I know, for instance, at the McDonald's game, Keldon just shut him down, and all the talk there was, boy, about how much harder and better Keldon Johnson played than R.J. Barrett. Now, that's been a while, but my guess is that R.J. Barrett's heard that a few times. And, of course, on the flip side is R.J. Barrett ate Emmanuel Quickly and T.J. Washington and Team USA up when John Calipari was coaching them, so maybe it kind of balances out. But I think that Barrett-Johnson matchup could be one to watch tonight, because I'm not sure. I think they both, I mean, obviously they know each other. I'm not sure they're bosom buddies off the court, Tom. So that could be kind of fun to watch, I think.
Larry Vaught's with us. You can read him at VaughtsViews.com, LEX18.com. The latter site is where you can go to find that story about Reed Travis being a potential difference maker tonight against Duke. More with Larry. We'll get into a little football. We'll come right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs, and on the Kentucky branded hotline is Larry Vaught. And been talking UK basketball. Let's talk a little football and your take on what went down Saturday at Kroger Field.
Oh, I would say the outcome was disappointing, but the atmosphere was certainly terrific. I think it's hard for me to feel bad about a Kentucky football team 7-2 and got a great chance to finish 10-2. I just think they got beat by a team that played a little bit better and was probably better than what I anticipated coming in. Georgia controlled the offensive and defensive lines. When a team does that, it's just hard to beat them. So I think it was a learning lesson, a process that Kentucky wants to get to this point where it can be there every year, see what it's still got to do. And why it was disappointing, it certainly wasn't disheartening to me, Tom, because they can still have a great, great season, and I just hope that something that happened Saturday doesn't turn into something that will cost them a game at Tennessee, because to still have a chance to go to Tennessee and win for the first time in Knoxville in 34 years, same season that you beat Florida, that makes it pretty historic and pretty special for Kentucky, and I hope they put all that behind them come Sunday afternoon, and now all that focus is totally on Tennessee, and I think it will be. I think a lot of these guys came back to have a special season, and they know, yes, they missed a chance to go to the SEC title game, but 10 wins and a New Year's Bowl will still make it pretty darn special at Kentucky.
Yeah, it's probably not exactly. It wouldn't be one and two in terms of achievements. It'd be 1 and 1A get to a New Year's Bowl, baby, and go 10-2. I was probably guilty of underestimating Georgia a little bit too, and maybe what we were talking about in the last segment with these freshmen, and you know, you just kind of wait once you've accomplished something like they did last year, getting to the national championship game, that maybe you fall into a little bit of that mode of waiting for the biggest games. And this was one for Georgia because they weren't going to go get to play for the SEC championship, and they'd lose any shot at the national championship if they lost to Kentucky. So Kentucky got Georgia's A effort for sure.
Yeah, this whole season is a little new effort for Kentucky because Kentucky's not sneaking up on anybody, and everybody's bringing their A game. And as I say, they're tired of hearing all this stuff about Kentucky. And, I mean, this week at Tennessee, this is a chance for Tennessee to help kind of salvage his season by beating Kentucky. We've seen Kentucky on the other side of that many, many times, but I don't remember many years where you go into this game thinking, well, Tennessee's a team that needs to win to kind of salvage their season, and if Kentucky loses, they're still going to have a good season. Anyway, this is a game that Tennessee really needs to add something to their resume, so Kentucky's going to get their best shot, but I still think if Kentucky just goes and plays Kentucky football, I really, really like their chances this week, and I think these guys will refocus and be fine there. And again, I think a lot of Kentucky fans will be there. And I think also maybe last week, Tom, maybe the team felt a little bit of the weight of the whole Kentucky fan base, because I was listening after the game when C.J. Conrad was talking with Dick Gabriel and talking about, or he apologized to the fans for letting them down. You know, when guys are playing that weight on their shoulder, it's a pretty tough burden to bear, too, and I understood what he was saying, but these guys just need to relax, go back out and play for themselves, and just let the fans enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. That can be draining, you know, physically and mentally.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's tough on young guys that aren't used to being in that situation. I mean, Kentucky basketball deals with that every game. Mm-hmm. Alabama football deals with that every game. Probably Georgia football does. Kentucky football doesn't. I mean, we've both been around a long time with Kentucky football. Could lose and get patted on the back for playing well. Well, this is a different territory for these guys, and I just kind of sense that maybe that took a little bit more of a toll on them than what we realized. And I think than the other unknown at this stage, too, is just how wore down, or as Mark Stoops says, beat up. I'm not exactly sure what the difference beat up and wore down is, but how wore down is Finney Snell, and how effective will he be Saturday at Tennessee?
Yeah, because to me, they've got to get back to being more of the running team that they were in September, for whatever that means. Whoever needs to step it up more, if it's everybody, whatever. But they're and I know the teams are good, but so were the teams they were playing in September.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The teams in September weren't just saying, well, we'll give Benny 200 yards and we'll figure out what else to do. They were trying to stop him, too, maybe not quite in the same ways. But, yeah, Kentucky's offensive line, I think, has got to pick its play up just a little bit from what it has the last few weeks and get things back going. But when you look at the three teams they've got left to play, that's something that should be doable if Kentucky goes back to just playing the way it did in September.
Yeah. You know, Larry, what you were talking about a second ago there with, you know, just the it's different, you know, the way other teams approach Kentucky and so forth. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever heard this, you know, for Georgia, this was their Super Bowl.
Yeah. Who would thought we'd been talking about that when the season started, Tom? It's amazing how things have worked out. That's what I say. Just the whole week was so good for Kentucky football because to put the national spotlight on Kentucky football. And they didn't embarrass themselves for the way they played. They didn't play their best, but they played enough and hung in there. Still were in the game in the fourth quarter. We're going to need a huge fourth quarter, but it could have happened. So
got to run.
All right, Tom. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you much. Larry Subban for me tomorrow, by the way. Mike DeCourcy will be coming right back.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
It's a big game for us, but at the end of the day, it's just one of many throughout the season, and we're just going to use this to try and see where we're at, see the things that we need to work on. So not trying to make it bigger than what it is. It is our first game. We're excited for that, but at the end of the day, we just know that we're going to be able to learn from this good team throughout the season.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We're coming to you today from Indianapolis, where the Wildcats play tonight against Duke in the opener to the college basketball season, the second half of a doubleheader of the Champions Classic that will see Michigan State and Kansas square off in the opener. And Mike DeCourcy joins us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline from SportingNews.com. Ready for this to get rolling, Mike?
I'm ready to go, absolutely. It's coming up on us a little more quickly than it ordinarily does, but I do think that it's a welcome change for college basketball to begin the season away from the weekend a little bit, and then also to do so with such a tremendous event.
It was Reed Travis, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that coming back in, talking about this matchup. And, yeah, in college basketball, it's not the be-all, end-all that it would be in football. It's a big deal for fans. For coaches, it's basically, I guess, the main value is what you learn, right?
Well, I think, yeah, and what you can accomplish, too, though. I mean, whoever gets out of this with a victory gets one that will stand up without a doubt. I mean, no one who wins tonight is going to look in March and say, boy, that seemed like a big victory at the time, but it's not going to. I mean, these teams are all going to be great. So, yes, I think you can learn about yourself and what you need to do, but I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Cal or another coach who said you can win a lot of good lessons and win. You can learn a lot of good lessons in winning as well as losing.
Yes, you can. And you know, for Kentucky, it's maybe I don't know if a little more important is the right word. And I say that because if Kentucky's a number one seed, their path to the Final Four is going to lead through Louisville, which hosts a regional, and that would be huge for Kentucky to get to do that.
Yeah, that would be enormous. And, you know, I think to an extent, Kentucky can also look at its league. And I think Duke could say the same, which means they probably have equal motivation here in that respect. Their leagues are just absurd this year. The ACC and the SEC are both tremendous and will have great years. So it's not going to be easy to stack big numbers, whether you're playing, if you're playing 18 games to go 16-2, or if you're playing 20 games to go 17-3, it's not going to be easy to put those numbers up because so many difficult places you'll have to play. So the more big names that you can get on your resume, the more important it'll be.
I heard Jay Billis yesterday talking about the fact that it's good that the way the teams are matched up as they are in this rotation for this particular year, because Duke and Kentucky both did exhibitions, tours this summer, and so they both had extra practice time and had those games. What did you learn about the two teams through those games in August, if anything?
Well, what I learned about Kentucky is that they have a lot of ways they can play it, and I think that it'll probably take a little while for them to figure out the exact right one and the exact right rotation and the exact right way to play, because they have so many different so many different guys make them so versatile. I mean, they can be really tall. You put Reed Travis next to Nick Richards, and then put PJ on the wing if you want. I mean, you can be enormous. You can be smaller. You can play Reed at the center and PJ at the four spot, and now you're smaller and more dynamic, and maybe a little bit more adept offensively. You can in the backcourt. You can be really tall and long if you want. If you play Hagans next to the other two freshman wings, you can be smaller and maybe a little quicker with Emmanuel Quickly and Quade Green. There's just so many different ways to play it, and I think all those will come into play in making Kentucky a special team. But you have to, eventually you have to have, an A and a B and a C, and not just, well, let's try A now and let's try C now, because they can't seem to deal with that. I think you need to have a real idea of how you want the train to move, and I'm sure with practice and with what they saw in the Bahamas, that gives them an opportunity to get a feel for what they can do. But only really once you get into winning and losing games do you know what you have to do. And, for Duke, I think that the question for them is, they know who the core of their lineup is going to be, and they're all very young. But then what do they put around it? Do they put a shooter? Do they put a big guy like Javon Delorier? They have to have to sort of figure it out. And I think that, the one thing that they did learn for sure in Canada is that, and I think they knew this already, but it was reinforced, is Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett are special, special talents. and they have to do as much as they can to emphasize those two players.
We're talking with Mike DeCourcy, and you can read him at sportingnews.com and on Twitter. It's at TSN Mike. We'll get to a break here in a minute, but give me a quick preview of the other half of the doubleheader, which I'm sure a lot of the Kentucky fans that have tickets tonight will be up here to take in between Michigan and Kansas, Michigan State and Kansas.
Yeah, I know there's some good places in Indy to eat.
Yes, there are.
Favorites, but you got to get it done early and get in there because the game's going to be great. Kansas and Kansas is a team that has just tremendous, sort of like Kentucky, tremendous depth and options. They can go. I went and saw them practice 2-3 weeks ago, and they have real incredible physical size with Udoka Azubuike. In the backcourt as well with Quentin Grimes, one of the most mature, physically mature freshmen I can remember seeing. I think you've got Dietrich Lawson, who's a tremendous, versatile talent, and I think is really going to blossom. But I think they still have questions about exactly how to play their rotation as well. Dotson, the freshman point guard. He looked really like a fine player to me, but he didn't dominate. He didn't excel the day I went and watched him practice, and it was early. But he's going to have to improve a lot, I think, to be the player that they think he can drive them to a championship. You know, on Michigan State side, they're much more assured of who they are. They've got a lot of players who played a lot of basketball. Their junior class of Nick Ward and Josh Langford and Cassius Winston. I mean, those guys have played a ton. And then, of course, you've got veterans as well, like Goins in the front court. They've got so many different players who've played a lot, and they will get something out of their freshmen. But the core of their team is very well established, and it's just a question of those guys being able to step into bigger roles. Ward has to play more consistently, and what I mean by that is he has to play more consistently. He's always in foul trouble in the past. Cassius Winston has to up his defensive game, and I think he has to become more aggressive offensively. And Langford can't just be a guy who is content to hunt the absolute great shot. He's got to be willing to take shots sometimes that, maybe not the perfect wide-open no one around him for 5 feet shots. He's got to be able to take and make some tough shots if he's going to be the wing that he wants to be and that Michigan State needs him to be a substantial team.
Talk with Mike DeCourcy from SportingNews.com here on the Leach Report. He's coming to us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline, and we'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Back with Mike DeCourcy from SportingNews.com. We get Mike on the program regularly through college basketball season to talk about hoops and Kentucky basketball in particular, but just the whole thing. But we also talk a little movies. I got to ask you a movie question before we get back into the basketball, because I haven't been able to see Bohemian Rhapsody yet. I'm a big Queen fan from way back. I want to see it. Have you seen it?
I have not. I have not heard good reviews from it.
Oh, I hate that.
The people who have reviewed the film have said they seem to gloss over the facts and change some things around and weren't pleased with their historical license. I can understand tweaking up things for dramatic effect, but I don't think you need to alter an entire history. The Queen story is pretty compelling. What they were able to do musically, and obviously the tragedy of Freddie Mercury's life, I don't think you need to embellish that much to get a good movie out of it.
No, that's a very fair point. Let's get back to the basketball. And you guys have come out today with your preseason All-America teams at SportingNews.com. And I thought it was interesting as I just scanned through this. I didn't – if I missed something here, you could correct me. But as I've got it, I've got 15 players, obviously, over three teams, only two freshmen, both from Duke, Zion Williamson on the third team, R.J. Barrett on the first. And I think of 15 players, you have 14 different schools represented, with Reed Travis from Kentucky being on the second team.
Yeah, and one of the things that I did with that was, maybe it's just an abdication. I don't know, but I didn't pick it myself, and I didn't wield that much influence on it because I don't really have great ideas about this season's All-America team. I think it's really whereas you can look at the top 25 teams and put those together, and it's not that hard to know who's going to be really good. I mean, there might be some surprises, and there may be somebody in the high group that falls a little bit, but you have a pretty good idea. But the actual players themselves, I mean, you've got a great player like Carson Edwards, who I think will have a tremendous year, but his team is not the same team as he had a year ago, and so his circumstance will change, and can he match or improve on his sophomore year? Luke May, I think, terrific season a year ago, and I know I'm saying two bad words when I say Luke May to the audience I'm speaking to, but you're talking about a guy who averaged a double-double last year, but sort of faded off as the games got bigger last year, and now Nasir Little comes in and maybe the most talented freshman at Carolina in a decade. And what if he usurps Luke? I'm not sure that won't happen. So I think it's really hard. So we took a vote of our staff, and we have a lot of people invested in college basketball. And so I went almost straight with the vote. There were some ties at the end of the list, so I made the tiebreaker calls. But I don't have a real strong handle on that. My personal thing, I had PJ Washington. I think I had him on the second team. I was the only one that voted for him.
Really?
So I think that it's going to, the only one out of the entire group that voted for him. So I think that says something about the nature of this season. There will be players emerge that people don't see coming. And there will be players that people expect great things of that maybe don't have superstar years. I think that's one of the things that makes this season interesting. We can always find a way to enjoy college basketball. For instance, a year when we know that Jalen Brunson is going to be terrific, and maybe he even exceeds that, as compared to this year when, we have a pretty good idea that Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett are going to have great years, but I couldn't tell you for sure which one will be the best player on Duke's team.
Let's get back to the Kentucky-Duke matchup tonight. What do you think are the things that eat at each coach as they prepare? Because Kay and Cal both have, with so many newcomers, they have a lot more mystery than the average coach might have. Matchups, something strategically. What do you think for each one of them is the biggest one or two concerns?
Well, I think for Kentucky, I think the first concern is building a as quickly as possible, for a game of this stature, especially when you face two high-level offensive weapons, is building a defense that is functional. And I think that may be why Ashton Hagen started started the exhibition game, because I think Ashton has the ability to be a just phenomenal defender. And so, you start there and make it hard for Duke to get going from the very beginning. Even if Ashton isn't your best offensive point guard at this point, he is going to be your best defensive point guard beginning to end. That's not changing. And so you start with that, and I think that would be the first priority. Because you have Reed Travis, because you have Nick Richards to block shots, and because you have Ashton on the ball, you have the chance to be pretty good defensively out of the blocks. And so I think that's where Kentucky goes first. For Duke, I think that they still have to figure out what's their best group. I don't think there's any question it's going to involve the four freshmen, Jones, Reddish, and the two that I've mentioned. But where do you go from there? Do you go big? And if so, does your offense function well? And if you go smaller and put a shooter out there like O'Donnell, can you hold up defensively? That's going to be the real dichotomy for Mike, is trying to find an offensive lineup and a defensive lineup, trying to find a lineup that works great at both ends. A year ago, they didn't really find that until they went totally zone, and then they were good defensively and great offensively. This year, I think it's going to be they're going to have a little bit easier time defending man-to-man, but I think they're still going to have a difficult time finding the right group that sort of situates that man-to-man in the best circumstance.
Tom and Mike DeCourcy, SportingNews.com on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. Kentucky, the games you saw maybe down in the Bahamas or any practices, of the freshman group, anybody that's significantly better than you thought or anybody that you have a question about that you maybe didn't before?
Yeah, I thought that Tyler Hero was better. I didn't know what I expected based on not having seen him at all. Was a guy who was a great shooter. And what I got was a guy who was that and a great scorer, a guy who can make baskets from a lot of different angles and circumstances and distances and the ability to put the ball on the floor to get to his own shot, the ability to put the ball on the floor to draw defense and make plays. He's a much more versatile offensive player than I had nothing other than you hear, oh, great shooter, great shooter, great shooter. So that's what I was going on. And he is well beyond that.
Mike, I always appreciate the visits, and we'll get into these on a regular basis later this month or next. But enjoy the start of the college basketball season tonight, and see you over there.
I will see you, Tom. Thank you.
And then Mike DeCourcy, SportingNews.com, and on Twitter it's at TSN Mike, and he'll be there at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It's kind of every year when they get together for this event, it's like a little mini Final Four in terms of you see all the folks that you see at the Final Four in terms of media members and our buddies that'll be broadcasting the game tonight on TV side, Dan Shulman and Jay Billis. Well, I'm sure we'll be seeing them here shortly when we head over to Kentucky's practice later this afternoon. Right now, we're heading to a break, and we're back with our final segment of the Leach Report on location in Indianapolis today. We're served up, as always, by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Time for our Donato slice of Wildcat history. Couple of notes today. This was the day in 1971 that Darrell Bishop intercepted a pass and ran it back to beat Vanderbilt 14-7 in Nashville on the final play of the game. And this came up when Kentucky won at Missouri on the final play of the game on the touchdown pass to C.J. Conrad. So as best we could recall, that was the first time since the one by Darrell Bishop, the Louisville DeSales product, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, it was this day in 71. 2009, John Wall made his debut in an exhibition game for Kentucky with 27 against John Calipari's alma mater, Clarion. A happy birthday to the sharpshooter on the 2012 National Championship team, Deron Lamb, celebrating a birthday today. Had one of his best games in the title game against Kansas. One piece of news out of the Louisville football program. Courier-Journal reporting that Russ Yeast, the son of UK legend Craig Yeast, is making plans to transfer out of the UofL program. He was recruited by Louisville, Kentucky, a lot of other big-time schools coming out of high school up in Ohio. Played a lot at cornerback last season for the Cards, not so much this year. So Russ Yeast is shopping for a new college football home. Going to do it for us from here in Indianapolis. We'll see you. Well, Larry Vaught will be subbing, and I'll see you on Thursday back in the studio for the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you.